Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we're able to hear this worship, Jesus. I pray that you bless this worship, and even though we can't be in community right now, that we know you're with us and you know that you're going to get us through this. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Set off.
Now you close my eyes to see. My King in majesty, your grace compels my soul to love and draw in close. And I lift my hands and sing, surrender everything. In you I know I'm found. My God, to you I bow. And now until forever, Jesus, I surrender. Show I'm desperate for your presence, longing to be with you. Lead me to a new place, more of you. Through the fire, I'll persevere. I won't submit to any. My trust is in you, Lord. Now until forever, Jesus, I surrender. Oh, that I don't know more of you. I'm desperate for your presence, longing to be with you. Lead me to a
Good morning, Sahuarita House of Worship. Good morning. Today, I, Pastor John, will be bringing the message. I know as your home, doing your part and staying safe, doing, abiding by what the government has asked us to do, that we will together defeat this virus that has been coming upon our nation. And I know as your home that you will be with us in spirit. And I would rather be speaking to your smiling faces. I've got four smiling faces that I'm looking at right now, and this will make up for you. But there's a lot of empty chairs, and I miss you guys. I miss seeing you. I miss being around you. It's amazing how we get so used to just being with those that God has placed in our path. And I do miss you guys. But we will get through this, and one day we will be together. And I look forward to that day. One of the things that God's been telling me is that through this time, I know sometimes for some of us it becomes a little difficult to not look at the downside of where we are. But he's been telling me to find joy, to laugh. And we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we know that laughter is like medicine to our bodies, to our bones, to our spirit. So we're good to do that. So what I'd like to do this morning is tell you a couple of jokes. And I hope you laugh. If not, then maybe you are asleep. But no, these are jokes that I think are cute. So I hope they're worth you finding laughable. So here goes the first one. A little girl asked her mom, "How did the human race appear?" And the mother answered, "God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and then all mankind." 2 days later, the girl asked her dad the same question, and the father answered, "Many years ago, there were monkeys. And from them, the human race evolved." The confused young girl returned to her mom and said, "How is it you told me that the human race was created by God, and Dad said that they developed from monkeys?" And the mother answered, "Well, dear, it is very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his." Joke number two. A Sunday school teacher asked her children, "Why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" And one bright little girl replied, "Because people are sleeping." Oh, well, I hope that when you come to church every Sunday, you don't go to sleep. Our sermons are very invigorating and just pump you up. So I know that that's not your problem. So when we see you next time here in church, you should have had enough rest to where you'll never go to sleep again. So rest during this time. Amen. And if you remember that every first Sunday of the month, we all gather for corporate communion. And I just want to remind you that even though we do this as a church function, that communion is something that can be done at home. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday. It doesn't have to be together with anyone. You can do it on your own, with your family, however you see communion. The Lord Jesus asked us to do it in remembrance of what he did on that cross. And so therefore, find a cracker, a cookie, find juice, a glass of water, whatever it may be. Lord Jesus is in all things. So please find that time to partake in the Lord's Supper. So let's pray. Father,
Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. And Lord, even as I bring this message, Lord, and your focus on laughter and joy, Lord, we've been having fun already this morning, Lord, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that it's not just about words, Lord. You're about actions. So, Lord, bless those that are listening to this message today, Lord. Open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes to see what you're doing this day, Lord. And, Lord, thank you for those that are here today, Lord, and all that they, the parts they play, Lord, into putting this Sunday sermon together, Lord. Bless this time, Lord. May you speak through my mouth, Lord. Let your heart come forth, Lord, through my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message is, God is Good All the Time. And I did say this once before, but... I know this is a catchy phrase. I thought it was a catchy phrase. I don't think anyone has ever mentioned it before, but I hope it catches on and that everybody starts saying, God is good all the time. Amen. They will. Have you ever taken time to focus on the characteristics of God? What is his character? What is his nature? His ways of relating? Who is he? Of course, we now know that as born-again believers, we get to know him as we read his word and spend time in his presence. We receive new revelation of him as we allow his Holy Spirit to open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. You see it in Genesis as he completes the most perfect and beautiful home for the first human that would ever reveal his own image. You see it in the Ten Commandments and all those things that were important to God. There were good things for us. And of course, you see it in the person of his son Jesus. The first scripture I want to go to is John 14, 6 through 10. And it reads, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. And then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me? Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me and has seen the Father, how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus, the true revelation of God, the example of who we should imitate. It is when our character is like his that we truly glorify God as he did. His character is revealed in his mercy, his grace, compassion, faithfulness, and forgiveness. Would it not have been for his grace, mercy, and forgiveness, I would not be standing here before you as I am today. But what about when you hear words like discipline, obedience, persecution, and suffering, areas that may not be as easy to embrace. Wherever we find ourselves in our journey, God is there, and he will work all things for our good. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by his grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, that not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want to read to you definition of grace. And, you know, as you look through concordances, as you look through just different areas that give you definitions, there's different ways that are described, and one that is embraced in this church, and I'm going to read just a few. And it is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Another area says gift or blessing brought to man by Jesus Christ. Another one is free and unmerited favor, kindness, credit, goodwill, blessing, and acceptable joy. And this one seems to have summed it all. And I'll read this one to you. It says, the unmerited influence of God in the heart of man, effected by the inworking of the Holy Spirit. Communication of divine goodness through Jesus, who is full of grace and truth. Kind of sums up all the things that you get from different areas. But I really believe that there's no way you can define grace. There's just too much there. And our little minds and the way we express ourselves, even in concordances or Webster's dictionaries, whatever they may be, we're never going to know enough about God to know his heart to that extent. But we do know that his grace has saved us. His grace is sufficient for us. And grace is independent of us. And it has nothing to do with you or me. Grace is God's part, his gift to us. A gift offered to everyone with no conditions attached. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. He didn't say that there was a certain part of this world. He loved the world. He sent his beloved Son to die for sinners. And all we had to do was believe and accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. This wasn't just designated for certain peoples of this world. It's available to everyone. Every person in this world has the choice of accepting that grace that has been set out. God provides all things through grace. Our faith allows us to receive what is already there. The gift of grace is more than an avenue to salvation. I want to read John 1, starting with verse 14 through 18. And it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him, and he cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' And out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given." When we receive Jesus in our heart, we don't receive just a part of him. We receive his fullness. All that he has, we have. As he is, so are we. His fullness makes available blessing after blessing if we would only see them and receive. There is never a need to ask for more. He's already supplied all we could ever need. We just need to, by faith, receive what he has already made available. God's love is not given in exchange for our efforts. If I read the Bible more, pray more, tithe more, 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 he could not love me more. He could not love me more than when I didn't do any of those things. Remember that his son died for me when I wasn't giving God any attention. And with such unconditional love before us, may even now, may we sometimes abuse the grace that has been extended. His love for us should drive us to a deeper gratitude. There is never enough we could do in return for God's gift of grace. The things we do in return can only come from a changed heart. His grace is already provided, forgiven, and loved so much that we lose interest in our old ways. We don't want to discover ways to disappoint him. Grace brings freedom, making obedience a fruit of that loving grace. Obedience results from a loving relationship with God. It will never create or earn that relationship. We do what we do because we want to, not because we have to. His grace should make us hunger for more ways to please him. He deserves our best. Do we truly give God our best? Let's go to Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That we have gained access to His grace should be reassuring to us. We will face problems in our life. Some we create ourselves, and some come by no fault of our own. In either case, we must face them, and we should be at peace and not discouraged as we learn to depend on all that is available to us from Christ through His Holy Spirit. It is during these times that we do grow. When your world seems to be falling apart, you see more evidence of people calling out to God. Today, as we face this virus and you turn on your TV set, you hear more requests for prayer, more amens and God bless you being said, and people working in unity. The last time that I saw such evidence was 9/11. It is sad that it sometimes takes devastation for people to find God. God uses life's difficulties and Satan's attacks to build and strengthen our character. And as He does, our trust in Him deepens. Those difficult times are not a time to blame God. It is a time to give Him our full attention. He will show us and supply all we need to walk through our storm and remove our mountain. When we trust God, we find stability and peace. Even if we lose a great deal, we may lose loved ones, jobs, material possessions, but we will not be shaken, for He is our foundation of solid rock. I don't believe anyone looks forward to problems. I know I don't. But when they do come, He will walk through them with you. I do not entertain my mind with possible problems. I seek His favor and believe His word. Matthew 28:18 tells me He will never leave me or forsake me. Isaiah 54:17 assures me that no weapon forged against me will prevail. I see me healthy and whole because 1 Peter 2:24 tells me that by the wounds upon Jesus, I was healed 2,000 years ago. I expect my vehicles, appliances, and all material possessions to last beyond what the manufacturer tells me. I expect to always have food on my table and a roof over my head, finances to meet my needs and those of my family. After all, God gave me these things. Is He not my provider? It's not about what I have accomplished. It's what He has given me, what He has done for me. He's always taken care of me and my family. Now, we've walked through some tough times, and sometimes I wonder where God was. And as I look back, I find He was always there. His loving grace and favor was always upon me and my family. And today I can trust and have peace that He will continue to be there. Why would He stop now? I have one more thing to share as I come to the end of my message. We are about 1 week away from celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wish we could all be together to do so. I wish we could all be together to celebrate. But I know we will be on Sunday morning in spirit. So I leave you with sharing a part of the greatest love story ever written. A father looks on as he sees his son being humiliated, whipped, stripped, and spat on. The beating so severe that the son was unrecognizable. The father looks on as they place a heavy cross upon his shoulders. A cross he would carry and be nailed to for over 3 hours. His blood would pour out of his body until there was no more to give. And then the worst would still come as the sin of the world comes upon the Son. The Father must turn his face from him. Could we have endured what a father's eyes were seeing? Would we have stopped it if we had had the power to do so? Today, we know the why. We've read the story. And sometimes we don't know the why. Why God does the things that he does. Why things happen? Why are we going through things in our life? Things that we'll probably never understand. But because we do know the story and we do know the author, we can trust that he will work all things for our good. God truly is good all the time. Amen. This concludes my sermon. Thank you, church, for being a support. Continue to pray for your pastors, your leaders. Continue to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, for he is worthy to be praised. Lift your hearts up to him. He deserves our best. Praise him. Worship him. Sing songs to him. Give all you have to him. And you will see that blessings upon blessings will be yours. He will take care of us through these times, our families. We're all in his hands. I bless every household, every person in your house. And I leave you with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Look for our new podcast, Showtime, this coming Wednesday. In the meantime, you can get updates and further information about our church at welcometotheshow.org. Until next time, God bless.